The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages that I may preach there also. For this purpose I have come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee.
The Gospel of the Lord.
So we're still in the first chapter of St. Mark's Gospel. And as we know from various works of good literacy, the first chapter and the last chapter are very important. The first chapter, oftentimes, of any great work, lays out themes and sets context. So, again, we are getting in the first chapter of Mark, which is written by Mark, who is a follower of Peter, a little story, or a series of stories, of how Jesus generally lived out his public ministry. We get a synopsis of what those 3 years were like in a nutshell. And what we read about in this particular passage that's giving us a context for what Jesus' public ministry would be like for 3 straight years is we get a very bustling, busy, on-demand Jesus, who doesn't quite even have enough time to take care of all the various needs and ailments of the people who come to him for help. They're knocking at the doors at all times. The whole town was at the door, it says. And so, how does Jesus deal with this? Jesus knows and models for us that life outside of prayer is meaningless. Life outside of prayer, living a life without prayer, is meaningless. We could do all the greatest actions. We could help and serve people all day long. And if we don't have prayer, ultimately we're living shallow lives and we're helping people in shallow ways. Jesus is the Son of God. He's one of the three members of the Trinity. And Jesus spends time every morning in deep prayer with the Father. Now, if the Son of God needs prayer, we need prayer. We need prayer as much as we need food for the physical body. Prayer is the main sustenance for the soul. There's other things that feed the soul too, but the main thing that feeds the soul is prayer. Jesus teaches us balance of life. All of us are probably, or at least most of us, are, I would bet, insanely and incredibly busy. We live crazy busy lives as modern people. We go from one thing to the next thing, and if we're not explicitly working for a salary of some sort, we're probably taking care of our kids or our grandkids or our parents who maybe are older or somebody else. So we're just going, and we keep going. And we don't stop, most of us. That's okay if that's oriented towards service, towards others, in some form or another. You know, the two greatest commandments are love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that would fall into the second category. But to do that without the first one, again, we're just an empty, shallow note of an instrument. We're uncoordinated. We don't have potency. And our actions are much more shallow. The reason for that is because prayer is kind of the basis. It's the basis for us having substance and power in our lives. The only kind of power that actually matters, which is the power of God Himself. This prayer simply is, I'll just say a few things about prayer here. Prayer simply is, as the Catechism says, it's the raising of one's mind and heart to God. That's it. It's the raising of one's mind and heart to God. That just means that it's putting ourselves in God's presence. It's raising our gaze, so to speak. It's orienting our attention, is another way of saying that. It's practicing being in the presence of God. It's not studying about someone. It's being in relationship with someone. We could become experts on Abraham Lincoln by reading all his biographies. We can know every last detail that anyone ever knew about him without actually being a friend with Abraham Lincoln. And the same thing goes for God. We could learn about God, which is actually excellent, and we should learn about God. We should pursue God with our minds. But to be in relationship with God is something different. That takes prayer. Now, prayer is actually an act of faith. Again, Jesus still had people that were waiting on him in line, right, to take care of and heal. But he has to set aside that time for prayer, regardless. Prayer is an act of faith because, I'll read the quote from the Catechism, but it's an act of faith because you have to have faith that the time that you spend in prayer is actually doing something and it's actually efficacious. Because if you don't actually have that type of faith, that prayer is efficacious and that God is doing something in prayer, even if our feelings don't indicate that, if we're having dryness, then the more pressing activities of the day or something else will distract us and make us think that it's more important than prayer, when in fact, nothing is more important than prayer. Prayer is the most efficacious activity that a human being is capable of because it's a participation in the life of God, which means you become infinitely more creative when you pray. All your actions and your words become more inspired. It's like salt. It makes everything taste better. The most common yet the most hidden temptation in prayer is our lack of faith. This is the Catechism. It expresses itself less by declared incredulity than by our actual preferences. This is putting our money where our mouth is. When we begin to pray, 1,000 labors or cares become urgent all of a sudden, and they start to argue for priority. This is more important than what you're doing right now. You don't need to pray. You have all these other things to do. Now, this is why I do not like having my actual phone on me when I pray. Some people like to pray on prayer apps. I think that's great. Hollow is kind of like a common one. You can pray the rosary with Mark Wahlberg, I'm told, on Hollow. That's fine. That might work for some people. That doesn't work for me. I don't want any part of that screens when I pray. And a lot of the reason for that is just because I'll find something else to get distracted with, like, oh no, I have these four emails I haven't answered yet today, or I need to get to this or get to that. I set aside the phone when I pray. Once again, it is a moment of truth for the heart. What is real love? Sometimes we turn to the Lord as a last resort, but do we really believe He is? Sometimes we enlist the Lord as an ally, but our heart remains presumptuous. In each case, our lack of faith reveals that we do not yet share in the disposition of a humble heart. And then this is a quotation from Jesus that the Catechism gives. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus says that to the 12 at the Last Supper. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's why I say prayer is so efficacious, is because apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And the way that we are, that we are able to be with Jesus is prayer. Prayer is the room where me and God get to spend time together. And again, it doesn't matter if we feel something. A lot of times in prayer, we feel amazing. It actually explicitly gives us energy in an obvious way. But sometimes prayer is dry. Nothing happens. There's some saints who talk about doing the liturgy of the hours and experiencing no affective movements whatsoever the entire time. The liturgy of the hours is five times a day. Religious sisters and priests have to pray certain prayers. St. Thérèse of Lisieux, which is considered one of the greatest prayers and holy women of all time, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower, she used to say she doesn't get anything out of praying the liturgy of the hours five times a day. That's supposed to be the bread and butter for someone in her life. She said, but my fidelity to those prayers has an effect outside of those times of prayer. Prayer is an investment that yields abundant fruit. It's the best investment we can make. It's the one we will not regret on our deathbed. It is the one we will not regret at the moment of death. Prayer is so powerful, so potent. It allows us to see properly, because we get so caught up in meaningless things. I can't stress this enough. We as human beings have this thing where we get so caught up in the dumbest, most unprofitable things that the world offers. And we're like sheep. We just kind of wander around and, oh, there's a bird flying by. It's like that with everything. That's why advertising is so successful. That's why it works. Marketing works. These companies spend so many millions and billions of dollars on trying to catch our attention and get us to focus on things that are less important. The orientation of our attention is everything. And the more we pray, the more our minds become the minds of God. It does work. It is profitable. It is efficacious. You all know probably from the past 6 months of just knowing me and the short time that I've been your pastor, that the thing that I have challenged our community to practice and the very baseline, bottom line, fundamental building block of our lives daily should be 20 minutes of prayer. We have to commit to 20 minutes of prayer a day. That's the baseline. I think it's better to pray a little bit more, actually. But 20 minutes, minimally. We shouldn't expect to see or growth in our relationship with God, to really feel God's presence, if we're not praying for 20 minutes a day. This is fundamental. You could do this with the rosary, which is always my highest recommendation for a daily prayer. The reason I like the rosary and I think it's helpful is because there's like 900 years of it being practiced in our tradition. and it holds up the test of time. The reason it does is because it's got a beginning and an end. It's very tactile. You can use your, there's a physical element to it. You put your fingers up and down the beads. You kind of have you go through a journey. You're focusing on Jesus' life. You're invoking the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary is our mom spiritually. Jesus made her the spiritual mother of the whole church. And so what that means is that if we put ourselves in Mary's presence, she can't help but bless us in a maternal, nourishing way like moms do. Hey, honey, have you had anything to eat yet? It's the first question moms generally ask when their child comes in. So that's what Mary does. We put ourselves in her presence. She starts to feed us spiritually. Prayer is an act of faith. Jesus shows us in today's gospel that there is not a good life outside of a healthy balance of action, service, as well as prayer. Last thing I'll say here. We as modern Americans tend to try to find our rest in entertainment. That's like the most common way. We turn on Netflix, Disney Plus. Those things are great. They have their proper place. But they cannot replace the rest that God can give our souls in prayer and desires to. Prayer should always take first and foremost priority. And then we can watch a little entertainment or whatever the case may be. But we'll never get that rest that we're actually looking for unless we put our souls in God's care. You've made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Amen. Lord, we ask you to please bless all of us and help us to be people of prayer. Help us to teach our children how to pray from an early age. Help us to teach our grandchildren how to pray. Help us to place ourselves in you. If we have things that are disrupting us and distracting us in prayer, please expose those things and help us to move on into a deeper intimacy. If our consciences are burdening us from some particular way that we're moving against you intentionally on a regular basis, and that is disrupting our prayer, please help us to clean and clear our conscience out, especially through lead us to the sacrament of confession. Please teach us how to pray. As Jesus taught the apostles how to pray, teach us how to pray. Help us to, as time goes on, become better at praying and connecting and orienting our attention towards you. Help us to pray ceaselessly as St. Paul asks us to. Help us to be full and not chafe easily. Help us to endure great difficulties because our foundation is in you and in the life of prayer. Help us to be strong, potent, by virtue of spending time with you, to have your potency in our speech and your guidance in our thoughts. Protect us with the shelter of prayer. Through Christ our Lord, amen.